But we're glad you're here. We're going to continue on in our series as we entered the Advent time of the year. Last week, Ivan spoke about hope and did a great job about that. And it's just a great time during to experience the season of giving that we just came out of with Thanksgiving and now going into a time of Christmas and the Advent season and all that means. And so this week, we're going to be talking about peace. Last week, we spoke about hope for just a little bit. This week, we're going to be very quick and speak about peace. And then after that, we're going to have a time of communion together. So during the service, as we prepare our hearts and our lives to experience that together as the Bible commands us to do. But we do want to be looking to what God's teaching us through this time. Over the last few weeks, hopefully I'm not the only one that's felt flustered at times. Anybody else during the season gets a little stressful, gets a little wound up, and it seems that no matter where you go, though, somebody's got it worse than you, and they can't always keep it in check, right? So it can even add to our frustration at times that people do crazy things and say crazy things, and so much even more that we should show the love of Christ during this time. So much more that we should show the peace that lives within us during this time. And that's what we want to talk about today, is just the peace of God. But before we begin, let's say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to come to church. We thank you for this amazing country that we live in and the freedoms we have to worship you no matter where we go. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come now and prepare our hearts and our lives to receive your word. And after the word, to receive a time of holy communion, where we commune with the Father in heaven. We celebrate all that the Son has done. Over these next few weeks, no doubt, Father God, that there will be times of stress. There will be times of panic. There will be times of heartache for some who go through this holiday season alone. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be with us to guide us and to lead us, that we would show glory to your name in every situation that we're in. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Our scripture today is found in Romans 8 and 1. If you have your Bibles, please turn there, Romans 8 and 1. It's going to be up on the screen for some who maybe don't have their Bible. But if you do, please turn along with me, and I'm going to be reading, and you can follow along with me. Romans 8 and 1 says this. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And if we just pause right there for a moment, man, what an amazing thing to praise God about. Over these last few weeks, we've been through thankfulness, and I don't know about you, but a lot of times we go around the table before Thanksgiving meal, and we say, hey, let's talk about some things that we're thankful for. And I'm thankful that I don't have any condemnation by being in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that I'm free from sin, and it's something that I can celebrate every day. No condemnation. And if you don't understand what that means we're not condemned anymore. For those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not bound by sin. We're free to worship him. We're free to live this life the way God intended us to live it. Verse 2 says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about the sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Wow, what an amazing scripture today. What an amazing thought that we can have life and peace. I've said this many times. In this life, one of the main things that I just want to have for me and my family is just to live in peace. It's just to have peace in my home. To wake up in the morning, not so irritated and wound up, not so stressed out, not so bound by the things of this life that I can't enjoy the life that God has given me. I don't know about you, but just for a moment, think about that. To live in perfect harmony in this world that God has created, to have life and peace. Now, the hard part about this is you've heard people say, you know, there's other people we deal with on a daily basis. Who their focus in this life is not life and peace. Who their focus in this life might just be their self and their selfish desires and their selfish needs. So we have to learn how to deal with that. And hopefully we will do that today. But more than anything else, God desires that we have life and that we have peace. See, if you don't have God's life today, you can't have peace. You cannot have the peace of God until you partake of the free gift of eternal life, which comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, are we as children enjoying the life that God has given you? When you wake up in the morning, are your first words, "Thank God it's morning"? Or is it, "Oh God, not another day. Oh God, help me today. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this bed. So much to do, so much to be stressed about, so much to worry about." Because I tell you this, the way you start your day, man, it will determine how that day goes. It will determine how that goes. And we'll see in just a moment how Jesus started his day through prayer. His word teaches us very clearly that at times he went away very early in the morning. You know, around our house at certain days, it starts about 4 a.m. for my wife. Because she has to get up and go catch a plane at times. Now, yes, I'm hassled by her waking up and turning the light on and all that good stuff. But I suffer through, right? So it would be a very early day for us to get up and go to a solitary place. But that's what God has commanded us to do. And what I find on those days that as I lay there a little somewhat irritated that even though I shouldn't be, she's the one getting up at 4 o'clock, trying to jump on a plane at 5:30 to fly who knows where, you know, and deal with those craziness. At times I can find myself irritated that I can't fall back asleep. It's in those times I hear God whisper to me, "This is a perfect time to have a little conversation." And then immediately I'm like, "That's a good thought, Lord. Thanks for that one today." And here's where I find the crazy part of that is that when I feel God speaking to my spirit and I feel myself being drawn to him, it's those days that I need him the most. It's those days from the moment we get up, things just don't go right. Maybe it's a flat tire, right? Maybe we get cut off in traffic on the way to work. Maybe when we pull up at daycare, there's 50 people in front of us and, you know, we're 5 minutes behind. Anybody else but me? And it's in those days that as I've spent time in peace with God, as I've sensed his peace in my life, that I find that scripture ringing in my ear no matter what it is. That our life is to be in peace. That we're to enjoy the peace of God, especially during this season. I've come to believe that in order for us to walk in the benefits of God's great redemption, we have to walk in his peace. They go together. If we're not walking in peace, we're not truly partakers of the benefits of this life that God has given to us. What good is this great redemption that comes from Jesus Christ and the wonderful benefits that come from it if we're not partakers of it? See, God went to great lengths to reunite us, and he wants us to partake of his free gift and enjoy the benefits of being his children today. Philippians 4:6 says this, and this is a great scripture to live by over the next few months and years and life. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Wow. Anybody experiencing anxiousness today? Maybe trying to get little Johnny, little Susie up to get him up here on the thing. Got to make sure hair's perfect, outfit's right, right? And on the way to church, you look back there and they've got what? A Skittle. Pink hands, right? Yellow hands. That was mine on the way to church, right? And then I'm going, "Who gave you Skittles?" Right? And they're like, "Mommy." Right? It's one of the food groups. Look it up. It's in there. Right? So then it's, man, and you feel that tension in the neck and the back, and you're just like, man, if you get that on that dress, what are we going to do with you? Right? But in that moment, Christ is telling us, be anxious for nothing. They're kids. We expect it, right? Anybody see my child stretching out during the performance today? Right? Ugh. She had a hard workout at home last night, so she was just stretching, you know? I go, hey, she's awesome. Stretch it out, girl, you know? Don't pull a muscle up here during the singing. Right? God tells us during this time, man, we've got to learn how to laugh. Because he says, those little children, man, they come to me. And they have my heart more than anything else. And that's how we should be living today. That we're anxious for nothing except to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. That more than anything in this time, any more this season of hope and peace, is that we know who Jesus Christ is through relationship with him. Peace can be experienced in many areas. Michael Hyatt writes in Disciplines of the Heart, four of the most important ones that I believe that we should experience peace. And these today are reflection, rest, recreation, and relationships. And I'm going to go over those very quickly. But the first one today is peace through reflection. I don't know about you, but we live in a busy and a noisy world that will suck the life out of us if we let it do it. This world can steal our peace, man, in a heartbeat if we let it. Someone's angry attitude towards us can take the peace that God has given us in just a few quick seconds. Mark 1:35 says this, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." This is what I spoke of here. And if Jesus did this, how much more should it be for us to have a time of reflection? I believe this is best done by reading the Bible and praying, having a quiet time with God, just like Jesus did. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I get up every morning and have a quiet time, because I don't. There are many mornings, just like a lot of you, that when that alarm sounds, I drag myself out of bed, right? I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, let's pop it out here and crack it up and get in the shower and get the coffee pot brewing, right? Before I got to go in there and deal with two sleepy children, right? They got to get them up and get them out. So at times I miss my times of reflection. But the great thing about our relationship with Christ is that we're not slammed into a box of when we can talk to him. Ivan's told us many times that he loves to pray in the car. If you see him talking to himself, he's not lost it yet. He's just talking to Jesus, right? I find my time just whenever. During the day, I just try to remind myself, Adam, man, you got to talk to God at some time today. He wants to speak to you. He wants to share his heart with you. He wants to give you the peace that he longs for you to have, that you can experience this life in abundance, that we can live this life without being anxious. So we need to seek times of peace through reflection. This doesn't always have to be something crazy where we have to read 10 Bible verses or 10 chapters and spend 2 hours in praying. And more than that, it can just be a reflection of what God's done. Just sitting at home, no TV, no cell phone, no distractions for just 5 minutes and saying, God, let me just think about the goodness of who you are, of all the good things that I have, that I have a great family, that my wife or my husband came home today or came home last night and they love me. And we've provided a great family. We provided a great home for our family. But man, we're not in the hospital somewhere like millions and millions of others. Just a time of reflection. Finding peace through that. We can open ourselves up to that every day. To find peace through reflection of what God's done for us. The second one is peace through rest. God's built rest into our very psychology where we're made to shut down for a third of our daily cycle. Think about that for a moment. God's required our bodies to take a third out of every day for rest. And one of the quickest ways to lose perspective is to cheat ourselves out of this God-given off switch. I love to hear people say, man, yeah, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night and I'm doing great. Or I only sleep 3 or 4 hours a day. And I want to say, that's not healthy. That's not good for your body. You can only do that for a certain amount of time. And we've all done it. You know, as teenagers where we stayed up all night watching TV or playing video games or, you know, talking to our neighbor or doing whatever. And then we can find ourselves in college and, you know, there's that 24-hour waffle shop that we love to go to, right? And at 2 a.m., we're in there studying, right? Exactly. It's the heavenly hash. Be honest, people. That's what we're going for, right? We've all done it. And we've cheated ourselves of that rest. When I was in college, I'll never forget, I was studying under a Spanish teacher, and she'd come over from another country, and she was telling us that when she first came here, that she was living in a box behind a restaurant, and she slept every other day because she was trying to go to school, and she was working 4 different jobs. So she taught herself how to sleep every other day. And she's like, it was the worst time of my life. And she said, I'll never forget, she said, when I had saved up enough money, not to buy an apartment, but to buy a blow-up mattress so she could sleep on it in the alley behind the restaurant. Man, we've got it good. We've got it good. But we've got to learn how to find the peace through rest. See, finding peace through times of rest requires more than an induced pause. It requires deliberate choices. The Bible tells us that we take one day and observe it as the Sabbath, which for us is Sunday, which is today. That we should find rest on this day. I also believe that it involves a time of fasting, giving our bodies a break from the tyranny of our appetites. And we just experienced that a few months ago as a church. We went through a time of fasting. And man, the incredible things that people told us that they experienced at that time, as they heard from God in ways that they never had before, because they just rested. They took a time out to find peace through rest. Now, I'm not telling you to be lazy. That's the last thing I'm telling you to be. Because I'm sure we're all sitting there thinking, man, my so-and-so's got this down. They rest a lot, right? They rest a lot around the house. They rest a lot. They ain't got no job. They're resting every day, right? And that's not what we're talking about here today. We're talking about finding peace through rest. Because for about 90% of us, we're just too tightly wound. We're just too stressed out, too anxious in the daily activities that we have. And that's not the way to experience the life that God has given us. So we got to learn to find peace through rest. The third one is peace through recreation. See, there's a difference between amusement and recreation. The former leaves us more tired than we started. Anybody ever take a trip to Disney World and come back to slap more out than where you were before you left? Anybody? Yeah. That's amusement, where we go and we're amused and we come back and we're so tired. Recreation is not that. Recreation involves any activity that gives us the opportunity to express our creativity. For some, it might involve painting or writing or playing musical instruments. For others, it might be rebuilding an engine or even baking a cake. And these activities never seem urgent, but they're vitally important to who we are, that we can find recreation. Yes, for some of us, it's golf. For some of us, it's fishing, right? Anything where we can express who we are, we get out and enjoy our time together. The problem is, for most of us, we live in this one area. That we seek recreation more than we seek anything else. We seek recreation more than we seek reflection. We seek recreation more than we seek rest. Guys, for some days, it's just better to lay in bed with our wife or get up and cook breakfast with our kids than it is to find ourselves on the golf course every Saturday. There's some days that it's better just to let that sweet fishing hole go to somebody else. So we spend a little time with who we are, with our families, and have recreation with them. Ladies, not every day. We have to get up and spend 2 hours in the bathroom getting ready, right? Some days it's just better to just relax. Your husband has seen you for who you are, and he loves you, right? Your kids will not be scared away if mom doesn't have mascara on this morning, right? Or whatever it is, whether it's picking up the house, right? Or whether it's going off to work, moms, whatever it is, we've got to learn how to have peace through recreation. And I'll be honest with you, this is one of the ones I struggle with. It's hard. It's hard when you've worked a lot during the week and you come home and the kids want to go to the park and play and you're like, just give dad 2 hours just to sit on the couch and do absolutely nothing, right? Dad, come jump with me in the backyard. Come water the flowers with me in the yard. Come do this. Okay. Dad's got too much going on. Dad's got to call this person. Dad's got to go over here, right? It's better, man, just a day is to let it go. There's nothing wrong with recreation. Unless you spend more time with that recreation than you do with your spouse. There's nothing wrong with recreation unless you spend more time in recreation than you do with your kids. There's nothing wrong with recreation. As long as you don't spend more time in recreation than you do with your God. In rest and reflection. The last one is peace through relationships. Arguably, this is the most important. You and I were made to live in relationships with others. In fact, the very foundation of reality is relational. Before the world was created, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived together in perfect love and unity. But in this world of social media and digital connections, we must be intentional about building authentic relationships in real community. This means making time, quality time for our family members and our friends. It means taking the initiative to invest in those we love. We have counselors here in the church today who can tell you that a lot of times it's the lack of communication which gets relationships. It's that going too long without having a meaningful conversation. It's going too long without having time, quality time together. Right? Dinner's not quality time if we surf the net the whole time we're there on our little cell phone, right? It's not quality time when we're out and about and we got to check the scores every 2 minutes. We miss what little Susie, little Johnny's doing. Quality time is not when our wife's trying to tell us something important, but we keep waving her out in front of the TV, right, guys? When we focus on experiencing the peace of God through the basics of life, reflection, rest, recreation, and relationships, we can't help but draw closer to our Heavenly Father who desires that we learn not to be anxious but find peace through His Son, Jesus. More than anything else during this season, I want to walk in peace. More than anything else, I want others to see the peace of God living in me. So they go, dude, how's Adam so calm during this time? Right? Man, he should be pulling his little bitty hairs out of his head. Right? He's losing it. Throwing things and screaming like a lot of people do. I told you many times, one of my least favorite things in the world is to go to the outlets. And yet I found myself there yesterday. Right? I stayed in the car like I normally. I'm glad I did because we get back in. Family's like, man, people are crazy. They're grabbing things and snatching things and pushing you out of the way and doing this and doing that. No, I did go into Bass Pro, so I get a break, right? Yeah. I did for my kids. They wanted to see Santa Claus, so I suffered through, right, to go in there. And luckily the fishing stuff was on the way, so I got to look at some of that. But during this time, it's so easy to look around and see those not having times of reflection and rest and recreation. Those not enjoying the relationships that we have. Not enjoying these special moments that we can experience during this time. Let me encourage you, during this next month, when the kids are out of school, when our job gives us just a few days off for the holiday, remember these four things. Remember that God desires that we live in peace with our family, with our friends, with ourselves. That having a relationship with Jesus Christ brings us life, and in that life is peace.